Talk about factors that contribute to vulnerability of inexperienced carpenters. And I want to acknowledge the research team in St. Louis at Washington University, as well as Jim Nolan and Dennis Patterson, who are two journeyman carpenters that I've worked with for years, who always provide a reality check for me in regard to my work with the carpenters. This work came as part of a fall prevention training program with residential apprentice carpenters that's being done with colleagues at Washington University in St. Louis. And it also involves a collaboration with the Carpenters District Council of Greater St. Louis and the Home Builders Association in the area. Falls from height are responsible for significant morbidity and mortality in the construction trades. Residential carpenters work from lots of different elevated surfaces, and they essentially fall from all of them. So our goals are to evaluate and improve fall prevention training for residential apprentices. And we're working on a longitudinal observational study with the apprenticeship school that includes before and after measures, using survey measurements of understanding of fall protection principles, but also work site audits that measure the application of fall prevention. And as part of the needs assessment for this project, we conducted a series of focus groups to identify factors that might influence the effectiveness of the training that apprentice carpenters receive in school. We were interested in the timing of the training, barriers that they perceive to using fall prevention techniques, and recommendations that they would make for improvement. So we conducted 5 focus groups with 36 apprentices. They were separated by their level of training. We work from a broad guide with questions and then detailed probes to get more specific information about fall hazard identification, the kind of training that they received in their apprenticeship program, as well as training that they got on work sites, which is really an important part of training in the construction trades, as well as the work site practices. The interviews were all taped and transcribed and coded with a qualitative software package. The most striking finding was how much mentoring varied among these apprentice carpenters. And some of it was tutelage and demonstrations that was really excellent and really helpful to these new workers. Some of it was hands-on training in which they were taught the wrong way to do things. And some of it is what I call literally allowing someone to learn by the school of hard knocks. The apprentices reported that they had a lot of difficulty applying what they had learned in school. They said that they couldn't tell their journeymen that they wouldn't do something even if it was unsafe. And this apprentice commented, pretty much everything they talk about in training after 6 months, this is how it should be done. And you're like, that ain't the way we're doing it out in the field. Another one commented that a lot of contractors don't let you use tow boards at all. They say it just takes too much time. And those of you who don't know construction, the tow board is at the end of the arrow, and that's essentially what's keeping this guy from coming off the 3-story roof. They also talked about issues related to job security. When you're a cub, you don't have job security because you're a dime a dozen. They'll fire you and go hire the next person. So start voicing your opinion about getting that little harness. They'll be like, we can get another person to come right out here tomorrow and get the same price you get paid. Some apprentices reported that they had never seen a fall arrest harness on their work site, and one commented, never seeing something makes me feel like it's not offered. They also talked a lot about the speed of the work in residential construction, and this is a very fast-paced part of our construction industry. It created stress for them, and it influenced their decision-making about safety. They acknowledged that they knew that speed was a killer, but that they just had to deal with it. And they also talked about incentives that were offered for speed and safety. These are issues that are difficult to study systematically, but they reported that incentives created added pressures to work rapidly and not to report their injuries. One apprentice commented, you get yelled at by your foreman to work faster. If we got under the prescribed number of hours, we'd get a bonus check at the end of the year. Now that's pressure. And this one who said, well, at my job you can get hurt so long as it's not turned in it's not an actual injury, and it really makes you wonder what the incentive is for. Conditions that keep workers from using the safety knowledge that they have or reporting work-related injury, I believe, are truly markers of vulnerability. Our findings were remarkably consistent across the five focus groups, and I think they really provide compelling evidence that apprentices often don't do what they're taught, that the tendency is just to do what they're told at the moment. Our failure to recognize the complexities behind occupational injuries has led us to short-sighted information on risk. And it's also led us to attempts to empower workers through training instead of by addressing some of the more difficult social issues that influence their injury experiences. Again, we need to be careful not to focus on who is vulnerable, but rather on why they're vulnerable. And these findings, I think, demonstrate that even white males in a union environment can be vulnerable workers, depending on the context, even though they're considered to be among the more protected demographics in our country. Thank you.